Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to get right into the evaluation that I promised you that I'll be bringing this morning because I'm not sure how long it's going to take to bring it. This is an evaluation of a man named John Todd that has caused a great deal of questions, confusion, excitement, hurts across the nation. Now, this man does not have a lot of money and would never have made this impact upon the nation had it not been, he didn't have a lot of charisma. His impact, the success of his impact, or the cause of his impact, is caused by two things. One, by reason of the fact that he's made such large charges and large claims that if they be true, it is quite significant. And therefore, it has people's minds stirred up. And number two, if so many churches did not just take him in, not knowing really who he was or what was behind it, or if it were true without checking, didn't have the policy of just taking people in and made any claim they want, he would never have had the opportunity to have so many pulpits across America to have brought the Christian church to such a place of consternation, or letters flying all across the country, phone calls, people listening to mini tapes, buying tapes, wondering, talking. And I have been asked some time ago to evaluate this. Tapes have been floating around this assembly, and I've promised to make that evaluation today to the best of my ability. This is my evaluation. I don't stand as God. I alone am responsible for this opinion. It's my opinion. It is not verifiable fact. It is my opinion. And you're going to have to take it as that, and then you're going to have to make your own decision. If you want to make one, if you cannot make a decision, there's always the middle shelf to sit on. In this evaluation, I have evaluated 11, we have evaluated, I've had help, 11 tapes made by John Todd, one tape that was a rebuttal to his tapes, to his messages by ministers that have heard him and have gathered facts from other ministers, two letters sent by Mrs. John Todd, two letters in favor of John Todd by a Baptist minister and by Jack Chick of Chick Publications, seven letters against what John Todd has said by ministers across the country that have had something to do with him and have been evaluating, two people who lived with John Todd for a short time, two people who cite from ex-witches that they know, and one who claimed to be a tool of the Illuminati before they came out of witchcraft and the Illuminati into salvation experience in Jesus Christ, and four phone calls made to ministers who know him, who have been the brunt of some of the charges made against them. This has comprised the information we've used to make the evaluation. Now, John Todd's major claims concerning his life before he became a Christian are these: that he came from a family that brought witchcraft to America, that at 13, his sister became queen of the witches over Ohio, and at 13, he was adopted into the outer court, went into a witch seminary, and at 14, he was initiated as a priest of the witchcraft. 18, he was initiated as a high priest in the witchcraft, and that he ruled over 13 states in witchcraft, that he supervised the entry of drugs from Mexico through San Antonio into this country, that he went into the military, and in Germany that he shot and killed an officer that he was mad at while he was on drugs, and that he was headed for Leavenworth prison, and through witchcraft in this country, through witches in this country, in high places, his trial came to, all of a sudden he had no trial, he was immediately honorably discharged. The case files were burned, the matter was settled and over, and he was back in America. He came back to see his mother. His mother, who was a witch, she gave him an envelope, and it was $2,000 and a plane ticket. And he was to make a contact with someone he did not know. He went to New York. He met this person who was in high places in witchcraft. And that this person began to train him and initiated him into the sixth level, that is up from the bottom, in witchcraft, and became a member of the Grand Druid Council. That at that time they told him that everything he had learned in witchcraft before, concerning the power that was behind these things and magic, and that there were no God, it wasn't any God, anything was wrong, that was just for those people to believe, and now that there was a God, one God only, and his name was Lucifer. He said that he spent time in the house of Rothschild. That is, I didn't say a lot of time, but he spent time in the house of Rothschild. He was the owner of Zodiac Publications or Productions, which is the largest booking agent of rock music, and that he was instrumental in getting rock music out across the country, not he alone, but as the largest owner of the booking agency, and that the name of this productions has now been changed due to the publicity that he gave it. That he hosted a Grand Druid Council meeting in 1972, and a curio came with a pouch that was sealed with a U.S. seal from the State Department in London. There were six letters in it with the crest of the Illuminati on it and the Great Pyramid. And the last two letters were in Rothschild's writing. That the first was 30 pages of detailed plan for taking over the world by world government, and that there was an eight-year plan from 1972 to 1980, although another tape he says 1980 to 82. And the second letter, in it, Rothschild allegedly said, "We have found the son of Lucifer existing upon the earth, and he is ready to lead us into world peace." And he gave his name, where he came from, and when he should come out. And he's given myriads of other lesser details concerning witchcraft, rock music, Star Wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all kinds of world politics and things that are happening on the world scene today. Now, these claims, excepting for being high up in the Illuminati, these claims that he has made, if it were not for other claims that he had made, I would be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and to take them at face value. I have no way of disproving all these things that he said. It may indeed be true that he was in that witchcraft to that extent, in that high of a place, and these things really and did happen. We have no way of knowing, neither do the other ministers in the country. Therefore, that area has not been attacked by other ministers or other people. In fact, that area has excited a lot of these of people, because if he has occupied this position and know these things, then he's worthy of consideration in what he has to say. And his warnings concerning drugs, rock music, Star Wars, for example, movies, what they're doing in the world scene, the Illuminati, CFR, world politics, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of what he has to say, witchcraft, a lot of what he has to say is well-known facts by those who are enlightened in that area, have done a lot of study and have looked into it. And therefore, of course, it makes it all the more believable, because you're touching on things that you already know a little bit about. Now, there are other claims he makes, however, that are considerable. They're very large. They're questionable. They're unbelievable. Many of them unreasonable. Many of them are preposterous, extreme, exaggerated. And many, I am positive, are outright lies. And this next bunch of claims are those, I'm not saying that there's no truth in any of them. I have no way to disprove some of them. I question all of them, although some may be true. I cannot believe that they are all true. The claims that he has made are, number one, that Rothschild's letter named Jimmy Carter as the son of Lucifer, the third Adam, the Antichrist. And between you and me, I do not think that he has that same personality, expertise, man of dark sentences and great wisdom, etc., etc., nor from the same kind of a background and Jewish background and various things that is necessary for the Antichrist. Number two, he says that J.F. Kennedy was converted to Christ 3 months before he was assassinated, and that was the reason why he was killed. One thing that you'll come to see in these claims is that he knows way too much. You wonder how that young man comes to know so much, and all of it, all of this information is not just before he was in witchcraft. A lot of it was after he was saved and out of it, running from him, so to speak. How does he come as a young man to know so much detail about so many things other people don't have any access to or have any way of knowing, hidden in secret councils? He seems to know everything, you know, about everything that he decides to know about. He says that A.B., and I don't see anything here in J.F. Kennedy's turnabout in the last 3 months that have shown a president becoming truly converted to Jesus Christ and has shown anything that made any impact in the public. It was nothing was ever stated of a change or anything. No announcement was ever made. Three, ABC and CBS, he says, is owned 100% by the Illuminati, and NBC is partially owned by the Illuminati. He says that C.S. Lewis belongs to Rothschild's private coven of witches. That witches called his book the Bible. He says that the Mormon's Bible is the Mormon's Bible scriptures come from the witches' Bible, and they're almost the same. And there is no Mormon Bible unless you're talking about the Reformed Mormons, and their Bible is the they take the King James Bible, and they have added a whole lot. We call it the Reformed Scriptures, but they've added a whole lot to it. Otherwise, unless you're talking about the Book of Mormon is only a mythological, in my judgment, historical, archaeological account. It's not a Bible at all. That's not where they get their doctrine. They get the doctrine from the Pearl of Great Price and Doctrine of the Covenants. And even the Doctrine of the Covenants cannot be the same as the Witch's Bible because of the nature of it. He says that a witch's coven is in every military base in all four branches in Europe and the United States. There's not one military base of any sort in Europe and the United States does not have a witchcraft coven in it. He says 95% of all of new witches in the last 3 years were introduced into witchcraft by the junior and senior high school teachers. Now, since that we have not heard anything to this extent, you know, although we know that it has happened, but that means that only 5% have been introduced into witchcraft by all of the following. One, the military, in spite of the fact there's supposed to be a witch's coven in every military in the United States, yet they are only a part of 5% of having influence. All the occult books and all the bookstores are locked up in just a small part of 5%. All and the United States government, which he implicates, is also all the witches and all their work has only to do with less than 5%. The movies and TVs, although he says 100,000 went into witchcraft because of Star Wars, although that was long after he was converted, how he got that number, since I haven't got the slightest idea, how can he get all this information that nobody else gets? How does he know how many people are across the United States? Who compiles them all? Where does he get this secret information? He implicates churches and nothing about the colleges who so many are getting into this type of thing. He also has said that a Ouija board is one of the chief tools of getting people into witchcraft, and that all those things together would have to comprise only 5%. If the junior high school and high school teachers brought them into 95%, it just seems totally illogical, that kind of a ratio. He has said that all head witches will admit that the most powerful witch is Ruth Carter Stapleton. And if she's the most powerful witch, she certainly doesn't seem to be running, although I'm not an advocate of her in the least, does not seem to be running in a way that would seem to implicate her as that type. Not saying that she's not in a lot of things she shouldn't be in, not judging whether she's in witchcraft or not, but just saying she doesn't seem to be the most powerful witch in that type, locked into that type of thing to me, from everything that she has done and said and all the claims, what we've heard about it. Number nine, he said that heroin, morphine, barbiturates are outlawed to witches. It makes witches useless. That Valium is totally outlawed, although it's only a tranquilizer that lots of people use and don't seem to have any effects in their minds. That LSD is totally outlawed. It makes the demons within go completely out of control. Although I don't understand that that is to be true, that many drugs seem to be bringing people into demonism. I don't understand the connection. I'm not saying it's not true. I have no way of knowing. Number 10, that he was in a gunfight in Alabama that lasted 6 hours, used 10,000 rounds of ammunition, and 3 were killed. Now, that is a powerful lot of ammunition to be flying around for that many hours without the police and the army and all the rest getting involved in it. And how he was able to count all the rounds of ammunition everybody used is beyond me. He says that every president since Woodrow Wilson has been a member of the Illuminati, excepting Eisenhower, who was controlled by the Illuminati. He says that President Kennedy was killed because he would not obey the Illuminati anymore, and Nixon was pushed out because he would not obey the Illuminati anymore. And that hardly seems what was on the tapes and what just doesn't seem quite. It's a pretty large claim. Number 12, that Washington, D.C. was laid out on an eightfold satanic plan, meaning that our very founding fathers laid out that city on a satanic plan. He said that all of our national monuments are occult symbols, all of them. You know, Washington Monument, all of them, every single one, Lincoln Memorial, all the rest. Going back to a time and an age where our nation was in the Puritan, Quaker, and congregational fold. It just doesn't seem likely to me. He said that he was a banker for the Illuminati, that he signed checks starting at hundreds of thousands of dollars, running into many millions. Half of it went into politics and half into Christian churches. He says that he helped build 3 of the largest charismatic churches in the United States with Illuminati money when he was in the witchcraft, and that $35 million in 2 years went into these churches. He says that Maranatha was given $8 million by the Illuminati by himself to promulgate Jesus rock music. And he said that most all actors and actresses are witches, and that Todd himself initiated many of them, which may be true, may not be. He said that leaders of the John Butch Society are members of the Illuminati, including John Welch, and if they are, it seems like that a house is divided against itself. So he says all cardinals and popes, many charismatics, including Ralph Wilkerson and others. He says that many charismatics are bought out by the Illuminati, and in his own words, talking about the charismatics, they've never been taught the word, just emotionalism. A good example of this is Melodyland. It's got to be one of the worst churches in the United States, except probably Calvary Chapel. They have a whole Bible college, and they teach nothing but emotionalism. Now, I know that's untrue, because when I was down there, I looked at their college schedule. I do not think we have a college that anywhere near comes close to what we have in either the subject matter, the choice of subjects, the way it's laid out, but certainly what is listed as subject matter and so forth cannot be called just nothing but emotionalism, in my judgment. He says that before Oral Roberts got into the healing ministry, that he was told by a Cherokee medium that he could do it. He used to attend his seances regularly. Okay, what he is now, I can't say, ellipse. He could be a Christian, ellipse. I know he's gotten out of the Pentecostal charismatic and become more scriptural, based on the Bible and on feeling, now more than he used to, which is, my judgment, completely wrong evaluation of where the man's come from and where he's gone. And the man was brought up in a Pentecostal holiness church by a Pentecostal holiness father and pastor, and was influenced probably, many think so, by William Branham to enter the healing ministry. There doesn't seem to be anything in the background of that man at that time in his life, the way he was living, what he was preaching and doing, that would ever suggest that he'd be out after Cherokee Indian mediums going through their seances. He says that no witches were killed in Salem, Massachusetts witch trials, but one. Now, where he has the information of what happened back in that day, when nobody else can seem to find such documentation, I don't know. He says that he personally handed $20 million check to Demas Securian from the Illuminati. Now, the way anybody who works in big money to do anything knows, you don't haul off and give a president of a full gospel business association or any class thing $20 million in lump sum. If there's any reason for such things, it's always fed piece by piece, and you better keep up with the program as you get the next piece. They never haul off and get one big, enormous chunk like that. That check would be a subject of, as it was passed, you know, to the people who handle it in the church and the bank and so forth. They don't do business that way. They just don't. He also says that Bemis Securian does not believe that repentance is required for salvation. He says that radio and television won't brainwash you unless you're retarded or slow on drugs. But fluorinated water destroys the cells in the mind and changes the mind, and it will brainwash you. He says that Soviet missiles are planted in some United States rivers. He says that China is the only truly communist country. Russia is Illuminati controlled and is not communist. But my, there seem to be a lot of communists there. Between Karl Marx and Lenin and Weizsäcker and all the rest. He says the Secret Service shot President Kennedy, not Oswald. All major president candidates but Ronald Reagan are members of the Illuminati. He said if a person or group does not consistently and fully expose the Rothschilds, they could be plants of the Illuminati. And that's quite a statement. He says that the NAS Bible is evil. Doesn't give any reason for that, but those of us who have been studying Bible manuscripts, translations, Greek texts, know that that is absolutely and totally untrue. He says that Standard Oil of California owns all four major car manufacturers. He says that the occult subliminals on... He said there is occult subliminal messages on Bill Gates' Pilgrim Progress album. He says the Illuminati completely controls the Walt Disney Productions. And if they do, well, Walt hasn't really got in with Illuminati like he should have. It seems to me that he should have done more dastardly deeds. It seems to me that he's maybe been more on the softer, more purist side of the movie industry. He says that Ralph Wilkerson is head of the Cosmatics. He's the one who tells others what to do. He's the number one, although he's supposed to be ranked third. I never heard of anybody ranking first, second, and third by Cosmatics. By who? Who makes these judgments? I've been a little bit in the cosmetic, you know, movement to some degree, and I never heard of any such thing, you know. And he says that that Ralph Wilkerson appears before the Council of 13 to take orders from the Illuminati and goes back to the rest of the cosmetics to tell him what to do. And that Melody Land is all Illuminati bought. And that's why he preaches that witches cannot be saved. He says that Cardinal Sunens, who's cosmetic, lost to Pope Paul in the papal election by only 2 votes. Now, earlier he had said that he would be elected definitely, but he was not, and he made this state. Says the only last day revival in the United States will be the devil's revival. Says the charismatic movement is a tool of the devil to corrupt the fundamental church. He says anything that will happen in the United States will happen to California first. Says October 14, 1979, the number 666 will be given to America. U.S. will not pay off in any currency now in circulation. Therefore, the dollar will be worthless. He said that Ruth Carter Saberton won Larry Flint to the Lord, but told him to keep publishing the magazine Hustler. Now, there's two groups that are especially vulnerable to swallow all that John Todd has said. The first are the anti-cosmetics, because he has gone in, first of all, to the Baptists particularly, and the Baptists are very anti-cosmetics. As a matter of fact, in the last 3 years, the Baptists have made a new, great anti-cosmetic push. When I visited a rather large Pentecostal church, cosmetic church, in Los Angeles here a few years ago, about 3 years ago, there was a big Baptist church not too far away, and someone there who was from that Baptist church was telling me, as we were waiting to get in the church, on the steps there, that Baptist church up there has come down and said anybody in that church that believes in the cosmetic and speaking in tongues at all, whether you do it or not, is automatically out of the church. They do not want him. Get out of the church. They laid off all board members, everybody, and he was one of them. So he's come down to this church. I've heard that from several other sources. They have made a real cleaning house, so-called, of trying to, in many of the Baptist churches, of cosmetics. And, of course, when you're preaching how bad the cosmetics are, the anti-cosmetics, there's a tendency to want to believe it. And second, all those that have been enlightened or believed in the Illuminati, the CFR, the Internationalists, the occult, world government, the Antichrist, and so forth, if you have some knowledge of these things, it makes you can be more vulnerable, particularly if there are people, in my judgment, that they get into a syndrome. Now, I believe that there is such a thing as Illuminati, although I don't believe that it has the widespread application that he says. And I think it's a very tightly controlled high body that he had nothing to do with. And I believe we know, of course, that the Council of Foreign Relations exists and the Internationalists and so forth. You call it the world government coming under Antichrist. But there are people who get locked into this kind of as a syndrome, and anything that happens, any claim made, they grab it, sink their teeth into it. Anybody can make the claim. I mean, it doesn't make any difference whether it's right, wrong. You don't have to check it. They just, there's a tendency to want to believe every single thing that's anti-communist, this, that they are involved in it. And I'm not saying they're not involved in a lot of things. I'm not saying that there was an anti-communist program pushed some time ago that anytime something was done with the communists and people say that's communism, the communists were supposed to say, oh, communist, everybody's communist, everything's communist. You just mean, see, they purposely, the communists started such a program. But that does not mean that everything is communist, even in spite of that. And there are people who get locked into everything is Illuminati and everything's this and everything's that. You know, all the churches and all the schools and all the hotels and all of this is owned by them. I think it's ludicrous. And those people, however, are more prone to believe this because they want to believe everything in that area. Now, there are some contradictions that he has made, self-contradictions, in his tapes, and they are these. He contradicts on who owns the major TV networks. He says ABC, tape number one, says that ABC and CBS was owned 100% by the Illuminati and NBC owned partially by the Illuminati. Tape number three says that, and these are as we numbered them, that he claims RCA owns all of all three TV networks, and a great portion of CBN, which is Pat Robertson 700 Club, Christian Broadcasting Network, so forth. So these two statements are not compatible. He contradicts us on what the Witch's Bible is. Tape number one says that Necromanicon is the book that is the Witch's Bible, and the Mormon scriptures come directly from this. Another place in that same tape, he says C.S. Lewis and J.R. Tolkien books, witchcraft, the witches call these books their Bible. Tape number three says that the Tolkien's five books are considered the witchcraft Bible. And another tape says that it's the Aquarian Bible, the witchcraft Bible. He contradicts on what is the top label of Masonism. One place he says the 35th level is the highest, the other one says the 33rd level is the highest. He contradicts on who owns the record companies. So RCA owns all three TV networks and all record companies in the USA. And another place he says ABC owns Wood Records. He contradicts on the figures of how many were won to witchcraft through Star Wars. One place says over 1 million and the other tape says over 2 million. He contradicts on dates in the world takeover timetable. Tape number seven says on an eight-year timetable starting in 1973 that would give them the world by the end of 1980. Tape number four says the plan to take over the world starting in 1972 and completed in 1982. Tape number five says a plan to take over the America and the world beginning in 1980 to be completed in 1982. He contradicts on where the Illuminati money went. Tape number two says I saw $35 million in 2 years go into the cosmetic movement to build the four largest churches in the U.S. Tape number seven says I helped build three of the largest cosmetic churches in the United States. He says on tape number two that $20 million went to Dean Mosikarian, $8 million to Chuck Smith and Calvary Temple, $15 million to Ralph Wilkerson and Melodyland, which is a total of $43 million, which is more than what he saw go into them, into these churches. So there's three different contradictions there. He contradicts the position held in the Zodiac Productions, although that may not be a contradiction. He says one tape number seven he was the owner, and tape number three said he was the manager. Those could be the same. He says that Pastor Rasmussen of the Faith Baptist Church dismissed him for attacking him. But a telephone call to the office of Pastor Rasmussen says that it's not true, that he was dismissed for telling lies, not for personal attacks upon him. Here is a picture of John Todd and his family. I know you can't see it from there. And Merry Christmas, just let you know that we have one out of interest. A Merry Christmas card, and then two letters by his wife, and greeting part of the letters by his wife. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have received many letters from those who have given their hearts to the Lord, and so many more who have cleaned their house from Satan's tools. At this time, John is not speaking. We don't know, as of now, what's going to happen. We have just received word that the FBI is trying to come up with some charge in order to stop John from speaking. Our lawyer was given the word, but has been unable to find out what they are going to drum up. We know that God can intervene, and we ask you to pray for John continually. John and I love Jesus so much for all he's done. You see, he saved us out of such an evil world, and that makes us so very grateful. He loved us so much, he died for us. He gave us hope for tomorrow. Concerning the rumors, there was a time during late 1975 and early 1976 when we had a falling away from the Lord. It was because of the way some of the so-called Christians treated us. But from start to finish, Jack Chick stood by us and showed us what it really meant to be a Christian. It was a type of love like what Jesus had through it all. It was because of this we know Jesus to be first. Two comments here is, first of all, regardless of how people treat somebody, that is not cannot be called the cause of why somebody falls away. We ought to stay with the Lord no matter the whole world turns against us. Obviously, it might be pressure on somebody, but it's not the cause. Number two, the Dukes knew him in August in September of 1974, 6 months before they claimed, by their own mouth, they backslid. And at that time, they said that he seemed unsaved, hard, and he had the most demonic eyes that he ever seen. Just a point of witness. Continuing on the letter. Due to what John and I have come out of, we have a tendency of placing all ministries that compromise to further their work in with those who are completely sold out to the organization, the Illuminati. That might answer some questions. In other words, because what we came out of, as they say, if we see anybody compromising their work for themselves and their judgment, you see, they have a tendency placing those ministries that compromise their work in with those who have completely sold out to the organization. It's a value judgment. I suspect that this is a kind of an admission of guilt, perhaps, or maybe making a mistake. I'm not sure. We ask you to understand our intentions are not to hurt or judge, but to clean out the church. I hope you will bear with us as we grow in Christ. We are sorry if we have hurt any ministry unjustly, because our purpose is only to follow Jesus Christ as the only answer. Many have asked about our ex-pastor, Ronald Rasmussen. First, we considered him a brother in Christ. We also know the type of heart that heat that we caused him and the message we had to give. We love him and will continue to. We are determined not to get our eyes on man, but on Christ. We don't know the things Roland is saying, but a number of you have sent us copies of letters he has written. It hurts that he even could believe some of the things that he said against John. In the second letter, she writes, I'm reading in part, the attempts on John's life have stepped up. The latest was several nights ago when a man shot in our house through a window. But because of John's protection, we all came through fine. Jack Chick came over to give the support we so desperately needed. Jack has been a wonderful brother in the Lord. He has stood by us and looked as if the whole world was against us. During the last few months, there have been many rumors that John was killed. Praise the Lord, that is not true. John is still trying to do what he feels God would have him to do. We feel the message that John has to give us is what the church really needs. It is time the Christians sell out totally to Jesus and stand up from separation from the world. There are many letters in circulation against John. We have letters out trying to answer the accusations. Now, the comment I want to make here is, number one, you can see the heart expressed. Apparently, a heart of love for Christ and innocence. That's their own concept of what's trying to do what's right. This type of letter tends to evoke sympathy from people, particularly from ladies who feel in this. But I want to remind you that there are ministers throughout America who are charlatans, who are fleecing the sheep, who are dishonest and so forth, and they do have wives, and the wives almost always stand up for them, and all the letters that come from them are always letters that read like this. In fact, I have received a letter from a wife and one from a mother of a certain minister in this country that I am got a lot of literature from. I am certain that man's heart is not right with God. He has lied openly, willing to, in my judgment, he knows that the ministers of America know he's lying, but he's selling out because he can get money from the I was going to say dupes, but and the inexperienced, the people who are naive is what the word I'm looking for. And so he's done it anyway. And yet the letters written from the wife and the mother are all blessings upon their husband or son. I'm going to read you some letters that come from different ministers. This first one is from Logos International, from Norma Elliott, administrative assistant. Dear Mr. Lowry, in response to your letter of October 23rd concerning John Todd, we can only tell you that it appears that he is a sensationalist and is making false charges against many reputable ministries in order to cause a stir. And certain things were enclosed. Second one comes from Meldyland, Ralph Wilkerson, pastor. Statement concerning John Todd, to whom it may concern. Because there have been numerous reports that have come to our office, of necessity we have felt we must answer some of the charges that have been made by a person that we do not even know, although he claims he handed the money to him. I can fully assure you that this man has lied in stating that he has given a large check to me or Meldyland. In no way has anybody associated with the occult given his financial assistance. The same charge is made against Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Temple Chapel in Costa Mesa and has been made against others. Also, John Todd states that we have reservations about the miracles in the Old Testament. Upon request, I will be glad to furnish any information on a doctrinal statement for both the School of Theology and the Church. Also, John Todd went on to state that I believe God cannot save a person in the occult or cannot save witches. And these things are true because we have heard them in the tapes. Perhaps we have had more people converted from these areas of evil than from any other group. And then he goes on to say that one of his teachers on the staff here at Meldyland, Dr. Walter Morton, is the author of The Kingdom of the Cults. I consider him very well informed on the subject, and he's offered to do research on John Todd and so forth. And he says, may I suggest you secure my new book, ESP or HSP, which totally destroys John Todd's argument against our belief in the occult. For many, I consider this book one of the most drastic steps against the occult. In other words, he has said he's a tool of the Illuminati and a part of the occult and so forth, yet he says that these books blast the occult. He said on the phone when we talked to him that the largest gift he's ever received is $100,000 from a man in his own congregation. Now, I'm not saying in these cases whether these people are true or not true. I'm just reading the information to you before I make my evaluation. This comes from Liberty News Bulletin, which is by Ken Summerall, the son of Lester Summerall. It's November-December 1978, Volume 4, Number 6, titled, Is John Todd Right? Several tapes of John Todd messages have been handed to me for comments. My first thought was, no comment. However, since these tapes are so widespread and have caused concern among some and confusion among others, I thought it best to listen to all seven tapes and give a brief analysis of them as follows. Number one, if you have not listened to the tapes, my recommendation is that you not clutter your mind with them. Number two, I believe Mr. Todd has a strong desire for notoriety, has a persecution complex, and borders on being paranoid. Number three, a portion of his statements are true. All error must be mixed with some truth for acceptance. Number four, a brief summary of John Todd's claims. First claim, he affirms he is a homegrown wizard and an ordained minister among witches since he was 14 years of age. Second claim, he also states he was a member of the Illuminati, a special group of ultra-witches who planned to take control of the world by 1980. Even beyond that, he said he served on the Council of 13, the ruling group of the Illuminati. He makes some other claims I'm not going to take time to read. But he says these, all presidents in the United States since Woodrow Wilson are part of the Illuminati, all leaders of the Masons, the leaders of the John Birch Society, all Catholic popes and cardinals, leaders of the charismatics, including Dima Secure, and he says, was given $20 million by the Illuminati to spread the tongues there. Mr. Todd claims he was on the Council of 13 at the time and was present with Mr. Secure and was given the money. He accuses Chuck Smith, Calvary Church in California, of receiving $8 million from the Illuminati to promote Jesus rock music. Ralph Wilkerson of Meldyland is accused of being a member of the Illuminati, receiving orders to give to other charismatic leaders. Mr. Todd claims to have talked with thousands of charismatic leaders, and none of them believe in repentance and being born again. Number five, many other false claims are made. Mr. Todd also strongly warns Christians to sell their property, move to a Christian retreat, preferably his, store up foods and buy guns and ammunition for protection during the attempted takeover by the Illuminati. He even tells what caliber guns to buy and certain brands not to buy since the Illuminati owns some and has them rigged to explode during firing, which is preposterous. Because even if it was so, every man tries his handgun out before the time he wants to use it. Now, my observations. The Illuminati or any other group of... I'm not going to read all of his observations, just a couple of them here. Much of what Mr. Todd said is totally untrue and is very slanderous, a tactic of the devil. As I have already stated, I believe Mr. Todd borders on being paranoid, has a persecution complex, and is in need of deliverance from a lying spirit and a desire for notoriety. He obviously is a tool of the devil to promote disunity and fear in the body of Christ. Some of what he's saying is no doubt true. We are headed for terrible days. However, you can get these teachings from sources who present scriptural viewpoints for preparation rather than listen to Mr. Todd, who is the soul of discord among the brethren. Proverbs 6:19. This next one comes from the Spiritual Counterfeit Project, from David Fetchio and Brooks Alexander in Berkeley, California. John Todd spoke in Cleveland September 1-3, 1978 at the invitation from local pastors and leaders. He charged $2,000, half of which was for travel, the balance for fees. His theme was similar to tape messages which have circulated widely on the Illuminati and his tremendous influence in government, international finance, business, and churches. Todd claims that his background as a high-ranking member of the Illuminati structure provides the basis for his knowing the tactics and plans. It is hard to question Todd concerning his comments on the infrastructure of this organization. Literature is scant, and Todd says that others who have come out are in hiding, unwilling to talk for fear of their lives. Todd says his life is in constant danger. Where Todd can be questioned, however, is in regard to his comments on various Christian ministries. Todd claims that many of the major ministries in the U.S. are bought out by the Illuminati through the payment of large sums of money. Some names are Demas Shakurian, Jerry Falwell, Ralph Wilkerson, Melvin Leland, Chuck Smith, Calvary Assembly in California. He adds to this list Pat Robertson, 700 Club, and Jim Baker, PTL, who not only have complied with the Illuminati-controlled FCC to get the broadcast license, but are watering down Christianity by not preaching repentance as necessary for salvation. Brother Baker in PTL, Jim Baker, PTL, as we ministered, seemed to show a tremendous, I think it was Brother Sabin, who brought a tremendous love for God, anointing. I think maybe he said he wept and so forth, that they heard our group sing, and seemed to show a great love for God and appreciation of the fact that we were anointed. Well, many of them were not so anointed in the other professional groups. Avoiding repentance, according to Todd, is also an error of campus crusade and campus life. Todd also claims to have worked for Billy Graham's Worldwide Pictures for 1 week and encountered homosexual behavior by other employees. Thus, God Todd has chosen to publicly discredit many major ministries. Todd was questioned at a luncheon for pastors and leaders as to whether he had gone to these ministries with his offense per Matthew 18:18 prior to condemning them publicly. He said he had no obligation to do so because they weren't Christian brothers. Todd was asked specifically if he was saying that Billy Graham and Pat Robertson were not Christians, and he said yes. Throughout, Todd was not favorable to one ministry other than his own, but in various ways discredited others, including the most prominent in the United States. Todd was then asked if he was accountable to anyone or under any authority, such as a church or other ministry. He said no, just to Jesus. He tried to be under a church's authority for a while, but that didn't work out. Todd's doomsday message, the financial system in the United States will collapse in 1979, did not offer any kind of hope except for those foresighted enough to build remote defense establishments, become armed to the teeth with a range of assault weapons that Todd carefully delineated in one of his talks. The Lord, he maintained, could only hope those who help those who help themselves through detailed defense planning. Now, he talks about use of automatic weapons and so forth. I want to give a caution. There are Christians who, even a couple in this assembly, I understand, who, because of listening to these tapes, have become shaken in mind and are beginning to try to build a defense arsenal of weapons so they can fight the Illuminati when they come down the street at them. I want to tell you that this is not God's way. You cannot stand and commit murder. You cannot be a lawless one against the United States, whose government that you are put under, according to Scripture, we are put under the rulers and governments, and they forbid the use of people using automatic weapons and so forth out on the street. That is not the way God intends for us to make the rapture. If God cannot take care of you without you having to shoot people on the street, my friend, his program will never make it. Furthermore, Christians who do that are going to be in serious trouble with the law, and he who kills with a sword shall be killed with a sword, the Scripture says. The maxim is going to get many of them shot and killed, not for Christ, but to defend their own life, This is not the way that a Christian is supposed to operate. You're supposed to trust God, who knows how to take care of his people. God has always promised to take care of his people. You have not found, you did not find that Stephen and Paul and others tried to chop the others asunder as they came at him. Paul did not throw stones back. He did not try to get into some great big fight with them. Down the martyrs who spilled the blood for Christ did not do so on the basis on that basis at all. And if you are trying to gather weapons to defend yourself, my friend, you're making a deep mistake. God is your defense, not shooting people with guns. Todd personally is brash, impatient with anyone who questions his statements, intolerant of opposing views, and overall rather devoid of the fruit of the Spirit. He would appear to be very unteachable and unwilling to come under the discipline of others for correction, rebuke, and so forth. His meetings, while not intended to be evangelistic or inspirational, were very heavy, lacking any semblance of joy, hope, or even optimism that the Lord has things under control. It was more like Satan has the trump cards, and we'd better get ready, not for spiritual battle, but retreat, self-defense, and survival. In conclusion, it is very hard to accept John Todd as a reliable messenger. His use of half-truths, innuendo, and sensationalism creates suspicion and fear, making him quite capable of demagoguery. Demagoguery is a leader obtaining power by impassioned pleas to emotions and prejudices of people. In conclusion, it's very hard to accept John Todd as a reliable messenger. He uses, He is skillful in manipulating his audiences with his radical statements, especially the many naive, gullible, and ill-informed Christians who are mentally sent for the coming of Antichrist any day. And his wholesale castigation of other ministries cannot help but bring mistrust, discord, and division, not to mention a drying up of financial giving. It is likely that John Todd is greatly deceived and is perhaps an outright phony. We have simply pieced together enough factual information to see if all the Trilateral Commission and Christianity to be able to spellbind the average Christian audience. Whether this or no, he greatly needs your prayers that he will come under spiritual authority, cease his defamatory comments about other ministries, and become a faithful messenger of God's truth. He says, in recent months, we have received a surprising number of inquiries about the message and ministry of a man named John Todd. Todd alleges to have been a grand druid of witchcraft and a member of the highest council of the Illuminati prior to his conversion to Christ in 1972. While we have tapes of his presentations dating as early as 1973, he has become especially active this year, traveling the country and addressing himself primarily to fundamentalist churches audiences. In early June, UPL carried a story reporting his influence on a Baptist church in Zionsville, Indiana. The headlines read, "Zionsville Baptists Prepare for Final War with Witches." The headline and the story that followed indicate both the alarmist nature of Todd's message and the real effect he's having in some Christian circles. According to the story, Todd had convinced the pastor and congregation of the small church to stockpile 3 months to a year's supply of food against the coming shutdown of all food delivery in the U.S. In addition, he urged members to arm themselves with handguns, shotguns, and rifles in order to defend themselves during the upcoming witches' uprising. I don't know if I should read all this or not. Both the fervor of Todd's oratory and his seeming command of minute esoteric data create the impression of a man who has truly been on the inside of some vast conspiracy and has escaped to warn the unsuspecting world. Indeed, he claims to be disclosing the conspiracy which ties together all the disparate forms of evil in the world into one overarching plan being worked out by the ultra-secret society of witches bent on taking over the world and ushering in the reign of Antichrist. In Todd's schema, virtually everything that happens, political, social, economic, or spiritual significance, even within the church, has been purposely engineered by the Illuminati. In effect, Todd is claiming both the status and authority of a prophet to the church. Now, what he says concerning this evil and all those things, I feel, is to a large extent true. And this minister perhaps is ignorant of that. Many Christians are ignorant, and that they poo-poo because they do not know what's really happening. On the other hand, I'm not willing to believe and do not believe from all that I have read. I've been watching this all my life, my father before me. I've got lots of literature. I've been watching these things very closely for many, 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 many years. And I have seen a great deal of truth. I've verified many, many things, but they don't go to the extent that he does. I feel he has exaggerated the truth. But then, this pastor, I feel, is wrong in making this statement. He says, Todd is claiming both the status and authority of the prophet to the church. I have not heard anything in those tapes that he has claimed to be a prophet at all. I think it's only a real misunderstanding of what a prophet is. And because he says something's going to happen, various things, why they assume that he is taking that position. So for, on his side, I say that is not true. I'm skipping some of it. All conclusion is based on the following three observations. First of all, many of the detailed references in Todd's messages are demonstrably inaccurate. The internal evidence suggests that much of his information is at best secondhand. One of the more ludicrous examples of his persistent charge that C.S. Lewis was a witch and that his chronicle from Narnia and the Screwtape letters are required reading for witchcraft initiates. In the context of this accusation, as it occurs in one of his tapes, Todd betrays himself by insisting that Lewis is still alive. C.S. Lewis died in 1963. When someone from the audience finally challenges him on this point, Todd replies to the effect that, well, maybe he just died recently, but my source indicates that he's still alive. A Christian research group, I'm going to skip and read portions of this. He has accused Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel of being a witch, claiming that he, Todd, wrote the check from Illuminati which launched Maranatha Music. Smith has retorted by simply challenging Todd to produce the canceled check. But actually that is to Todd's credit. If he did it for the Illuminati would have the check. He would not be able to reproduce it. So that rebuttal is not really a sound rebuttal. Then he says, I don't agree with this statement either. We are set free in Christ. We are set in Christ to do. We are set free in Christ. Oh, yeah, I do agree with this statement. We are set free in Christ to debate politics, music, and eschatology until the day of his return, but we are not at liberty to dismiss one another from fellowship over such matters. That is, I'm not sure whether he's talking about him, talking about these other Christians or not. There's almost no mention of the overruling sovereignty of God and the intervening grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Todd's emphasis is almost totally upon the overwhelming wealth, power, and unfathomable subtlety of the devil and his Illuminati. From Todd's standpoint, once Satan is determined to do something, it can be expected to happen on schedule. This, I'm not going to read, just going to explain it. It comes from a certain church, Assembly of God. The pastor's asked to have his name withheld, so I will not tell the church. But he just states that he's pastored Assembly of God Church for over 20 years, and that John Todd came and gave him services. The first service went pretty well, but the second service, God gave him the spirit of discerning, and came upon him. He discerned this man, and he dismissed the man, and he told the people why. And he said, I found out in one of the girls in the assembly later that he tried to have some of them to have a seance with him or whatever he was doing. That's an ambiguous statement. He said that he was supposed to be living at a ranch outside of Phoenix, and that he got a call from the proprietor of this so-called ranch. It was not much of a ranch, and a little motel unit type of thing. And he was very mad, and he said something about you've had John Todd, apparently he's had maybe had literature from that church or something, and you were a supporter of him or something. This man was unsaved, and he was very mad. He said, well, you come down here and look at what he's done and so forth. So he came down, he came over there, and this was not far from where this person was. This person is in that same state. And when he looked, he said the place was an absolute shambles. That's what Todd had moved out. It was an absolute shambles, and he said he showed me where they offered chickens for sacrifice. He believed, although that does not prove this was sacrifice. You know, he may have butchered chickens and ate them, you know, like they do in the South or something. That you cannot prove it from that. I do not know, at least. Anyway, he was very upset, and he wrote the map. He wrote this. I have another letter here, which is by Reverend Tom Berry, D.D., pastor of the Baptist Church in Maryland. I'm not going to read it because my time is running out. This one, however, is for John Todd. And the man, in my judgment, makes very many biased, prejudiced, inaccurate statements. For example, why is Todd so hated and feared? Why was he wounded early in November by shotgun fire into his California apartment, which set his three small children to floor and tail? Why is denouncing John Todd so popular these days? And then he goes in for the answer. Now, this man betrays to me a hatred of the cosmetics, and so he's very willing to believe everything he says because he is Gentile is anti-cosmetic. And for example, he gives this type of reasoning, which he puts this reasoning in the minds of these men, you know, Ralph Wilkerson and so forth and so forth and so forth, which is not evident in any of the letters, and it's not on the tape that I put in these ministers. I do not believe that it's fair or true. I believe it's a twisted way of putting something in the minds of people that aren't there. I'll read that small portion to you. It's a strange logic indeed. He says, however, the formal question should be considered before we throw out the baby with the bathwater. It's a strange logic indeed which reasons like this. One, the man is a liar. Two, therefore, his claims to have come out of the sixth level of witchcraft and Illuminati are false. Three, therefore, his warning that the reign of the Antichrist will be set up by the CFR and global cultists is false. Four, therefore, his warnings about a nationwide Teamster strike and stoppage of power and energy are false. Since Todd has lied about some things, nothing he says can possibly be true. Six, therefore, America is in no danger from the Illuminati. Huh? What kind of reasoning is that? Yet this is a line being spoon-fed to eager audiences by popular speakers. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what they're saying. They have not made that kind of a sequential evaluation. They're all saying, we don't know about the witchcraft, but we object to him taking these men of God and saying that they are tools of the devil and all the rest. He also, and called more about Todd, says they came to a meeting, and in the meeting they came to these conclusions in the evaluation and investigation of Todd. I don't have much confidence in the meeting, because this particular statement, for example, they could not possibly have known and made a proper evaluation in the meeting. And that is, one conclusion they came to is that Brother Todd's accounts of his experiences while serving on the Grand Druid Council 13 and participating in the program of the Illuminati are reliable reports. How could they possibly know such a thing? There's no way to know that. In other words, they were convinced by him, so they decided it was correct, in my judgment. And all the way through, they have given everything to his side and admitting that maybe he's made some mistakes, but they have come to his rescue all the way through. Now, he has made a number of items, statements for Christ. He's made a number of statements against witchcraft. He has blasted witchcraft. There's no question about that. He openly states that Christians should not listen to rock music. They should break the records and burn them. This will result in being a stronger Christian. He openly states that Christians should not be involved in the occult. No seances, Ouija boards, automatic writing, and so forth. Destroy all occult articles, including symbolic jewelry. He was opposed to government taxation on churches. He ridiculed the government for giving tax exempt status to witchcraft churches. He said that Christians do not need to fear the devil. They have power over him through Christ. He's warned the church of Satan's strategies. Gave personal testimony that Christ saved him from witchcraft and serving the devil. I also have a letter that I haven't read. I can't find it, but it came from Jack Chick, the head of Chick Publications, who is in favor of Judd Todd, feels that he's a Christian, but admitted that he backslid. And during the time that he backslid, he went back into the occult, and him and his wife opened and operated an occult bookstore, a Satanist occult bookstore, during the time that he backslid, which is very strange, so a person coming out having preached these things to go back into it. During the time, Jack Chick says that he consistently tried to get him to come back to Christ, but the man felt that he had no hope, it was impossible, and he wouldn't even try. But constantly, through much work and prayer and so forth, the man finally did come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharon Harrington, a converted witch, said that the plan of witches and Satanists is to have top witches fake conversion in order to infiltrate the church to sow confusion and dissension. And yet, I do not believe that this is the case here. In the case of his backsliding and coming back to Christ by a Christian, all the things that he says, the way he deals with it, all the expression, the mannerisms, in my judgment, is not the way at all a person who has never come to Jesus Christ, the way they operate to discredit Christianity is not this way. And anybody who can know how to direct these things knows that that is not true. I don't feel that is true at all. Now, my time is up. I'm going to go a little bit further. I'm going to finish today, probably another 10 minutes. Maybe 15. My evaluation of John Todd on the basis of everything that I have heard and know about him and the Lord and the principles is this. And this is my opinion. It's not a fact necessarily, it's opinion. I cannot categorically say that I know positive all these things. This is my estimate, my guesstimate, it's my opinion. My opinion is that John Todd was in witchcraft. Because he has lied so much, in my judgment, in other areas, he may have lied to the extent that he was in witchcraft. He may have blown it up just to make himself very popular. He may also have been into witchcraft to the extent that he claimed. I seriously doubt that, I doubt that he was in the home of Rothschild, although he could have been. I do not believe that he was a member of the top Illuminati at all. People who run in that top 13 are very prestigious men of great power and enormous wealth, older men who operate the nation and not some young fella like him. They don't take young children like this, so to speak, and put them in the top councils of the Illuminati, witchcraft and no. He couldn't possibly pull a man like this to be in that kind of a top position. If he did, he wouldn't still be poor today anyway. I think that is a fabrication. I feel that what happened is that here's a young man who got saved out of witchcraft. He knew nothing about the Word of God. He had no principles or perspectives. He was a young babe in the woods and tended towards great fanaticism. He had a tendency of a strong reaction, of course, to what he came out of. And he began to tell people, and they began having up in front of them in the Baptist church he was going to, and other Baptist churches wanted to hear about it. And pretty soon, he was going from church to church, and it became apparent to him that he was being dragged on. He was being able to tell, and the pastor sat down and lifted up, and the young man was lifted up in his mind. And all of a sudden, he began to became imperative that he know things he didn't know, because people were asking questions from the floor on all these tapes. And so he made up answers that he didn't have, answers based on what he would think, what he thought would happen, and so forth. And he began to do more reading and research. He read into a lot of things about these as he was going about, because he had to know. He came to conclusions politically and spiritually and so forth, and he gave his conclusions out as facts, so they were not facts and data at all, that he'd come into and saw with his own eyes. He saw that the charismatics were a rather large group who were benevolent in funds and magnanimous in their approach and giving and certain things that they do, and they come on with a great, strong acclaim, more than the Baptists and so forth in these areas, and he got into that. He made comments that were not true, they discerned, would not believe, and they moved him out of the charismatic movement. He became bitter against the charismatic movement. He has admitted, I think, if I remember correctly, maybe through Jack Chick's publications, I'm not sure about this point, but I think that he's admitted, if not, it's my opinion, of being bitter against them. I think he felt that the churches owed him a living. They owed him to brag him up and keep him going, and when they dropped him, he felt very hurt and became embittered against them. And he began lying against them because of it, and he began to decide the charismatic movement was totally wrong and bad, and particularly since the Baptists were against the charismatic movement. He had been in the Baptist, he went back to the Baptist, they brainwashed him against the charismatics, and he took every opportunity to discredit them. He came under the syndrome, I think, he opened the door to lying spirits. I think that man has lying spirits that has caused, and perhaps some of the things he says he thinks are true because they come into the lying spirit to put him in his mind, and he doesn't know any better, and he's just giving them out, perhaps. But he's had to make larger and larger claims and grandiose claims, and during this time, like his wife said, he backslid because of what the churches did to them. See, in their immaturity, like a young man from this church, he left the church and backslid because I wouldn't let him get up and tell a lot of kindergarten stuff that the church didn't need, wasn't ready for, wasn't had anything to it, because he judged me, see, as being, you know. And so people that are new converts, naive, don't understand things, so easily can make wrong judgments and make judgments against churches because of that. I think that the individual does not understand Bible prophecy, the will of God, the plan of God, the leading of God, how to take care of things. His life has been in danger, and I think this is true, has been verified by a number of sources, even by those who lived with him at the time, that people probably in witchcraft and so forth, probably not so much Illuminati as witchcraft, and that he got into this defense syndrome, and has therefore thought that every Christian, they're going to be after every Christian because the witches are after him, they're going to be after every Christian, he's gone to seed and trying to protect through all kinds of automatic weapons and rifles and etc. I think the man has discredited the ministers of God horribly and unwittingly became a tool of the devil to do so. I think the man does not have much integrity,
I think he's fanatical. I think he may have some of these other problems that the other ministers have suggested, Ken Sumrall. I think the man has come back to Christ. I understand. I suspect that he is a Christian, a non-spirit-filled Christian who is somewhat fanatical, who has lied, who does not understand things, who's been in an embittered position, who is in need of a great deal of healing and counsel and help and teaching to set him straight. That is my evaluation of the man. And we might ask the question, what should we do concerning John Todd? And I think what we should do is nothing. I think that it's somewhat dangerous to be spreading all of his tapes around, because I think they're so full of so many errors and so many charges against God's people. And even though you want somebody else just to learn about the witchcraft part, you don't really know how much truth there is in all of it. Plus the fact, even if it all be true, and I'm quite sure that most of the witchcraft stuff is true, I don't think that most of his other things are true. I think the witchcraft part is mainly true. I think he's widely exaggerated the Illuminati, which he doesn't know any more about than a few others who've studied it. And if he was any part of it, he was only a tool at the bottom end, as witches could be used in others. And that doesn't make him a part of the Council of 13 or part of the Illuminati. It just makes him a dupe and a tool of the Illuminati. And I think that what's my point now? And I think that as far as the political things, he's just a person who reads and makes judgments and predictions, and he's not the best source for that. And I think he's a very poor source on the spiritual level. So I think it's best not to even deal with his tapes, just forget him completely, get the information from others. I do have some information by a more reliable source on witchcraft, rock and roll music, and also Star Wars, a man named Gene Avon, and I taped some of the information, and what he says about witchcraft, Star Wars, and rock music does coincide with what John Todd says about these things, you know, to the largest extent. He didn't claim 100,000 witches came out from witchcraft. He didn't give exact numbers, but they're saying the same thing. We've heard enough other sources. We know that that information is basically right. I mean, I think the man that has been in witchcraft, he does know the traps of these things, and that information is good and right. But then all the periphery, political and Illuminati and all the other peripheral accusations against cosmetics and so forth is totally wrong and unfounded. That's my opinion. I would like to do one more thing before we close. If Rhonda and Daryl Duke are here, are you here? Just say Hill. Is Rhonda Duke here? You just yell out, Hill. Well, I'm surprised. Pardon? Are they in the view room? Oh, here they are. Come on the platform a minute. We're only going to give them, I only want them to take a couple of minutes. But these two people lived with John Todd for a couple of months. And I want them just to briefly tell their impressions and what they know about him. So using these because they are first-hand witnesses.
Basically, I agree with just about everything Don said about the man. But when we lived with him, he was definitely in a backstate condition, almost to the point we thought he was probably demon-possessed. And when Don was saying that, you know, about him, churches claiming that he was a prophet and everything, we definitely know he stated to us that he was God's prophet. And some of the things he did, for instance, to people that were living or was in this coffee house type ministry, he prophesied to them to get married, and we definitely know that neither one of them were in love. In fact, the man stated to my wife that, you know, he just he didn't like her at all. But because of the prophecy, they got married. About 2 years ago, though, we went back to Colorado and we talked with these two people, and they seem to really be doing good. And they seem to really be in love, and they have a child now. So I guess God really turned around for the good. But We know definitely, I think I can say this, that there was another girl that was involved that came out of witchcraft, which he more or less had her a prisoner. And through the time that we were there, we kind of rescued her out. But she heard him definitely praying to Satan. And several times while living in the apartment with his wife in the other room, he had tried to seduce her. Now, I don't know where these what I'd be saying now would fit the man in his nature today, because he was definitely, in my opinion, is a different man than when we knew him. As far as when we knew him, his main thing was to expose Illuminati, and salvation was secondary. I mean, it was like, that was his main thing, was expose Illuminati, but getting people saved, it just, to me, it just didn't seem that that was his motive behind the thing.
Well, there's so many things to say about Johnny, it's difficult to know where to begin. Don did a very good summary of his motives and his attitudes. When we very first met Johnny, it was very evident that he still had demon problems, to the point we thought he was definitely demon-possessed, as my husband said. We worked with him very closely in a coffee house. We lived with him down at the coffee house, and we stayed with him for a couple of months, day and night. Very few times were we separated. We did have the people in the town after us with threats, wanted us to close the coffee house because of the publicity Johnny was giving. There were human sacrifices evidently going on in the town. Everyone in town knew about it. Bodies were found all of the time, so it was a very demonic situation we were in, and a lot of the things he did say about the Illuminati we believed were true, just as Don said. However, knowing the man personally and knowing his bitterness against the charismatics, because we were with him at the time he was first beginning his ministry, it was his very first attempt to start a following by setting up this coffee house. And in so doing, he went to the charismatic leaders in our town. We attended a charismatic church there, a spirit-filled church. He went into several of these churches and tried to gain a following. No one believed that he had enough on the ball, as they said, to have ever been involved in the Illuminati to the extent that he claimed, and they would not support him financially. We had no financial support for the coffee house other than one person whom he gained control of, and as Daryl explained how he was a prophet of God, he told this woman who was greatly endowed financially that God told him that she was to give the money to support the coffee house, and we all lived off of that money. None of us were working other than at the coffee house with her financial support. This woman also had demonic problems that she had never experienced before until she met Johnny. When they were driving down the car, down the road, in a car going quite fast, she would go into these trances, and she would hear Johnny telling her to jump out of the car and do different things because she had given her money over to him in her will. Should anything happen to her, he would gain a considerable amount of money. He had told us, he had also told other people to get married, and they had followed him before he came to Colorado. And as Daryl explained to you, Dave Brown said he hated the girl, and if God hadn't told him to marry her, he never would have. But they did stay with Johnny after we left. Rhonda Duncan, who was the prisoner Daryl spoke about, was brought in contact with Johnny through Jack Chick. Jack calls Johnny when he lived in San Antonio, where he was supposedly involved in just coming out of the witchcraft and exposing it there. And he made a trip to California and rescued her. She had come out of white witchcraft herself, was involved a great deal in the Illuminati, and had met Jack Chick and wanted to escape, actually, from the Illuminati. And she told us a great deal about the government and things that were going on. We had no reason to doubt her at all. She had the Spirit of God on her like I've never seen on any person in my whole life. She had such a love for Jesus that you couldn't imagine it. However, she was staying with Johnny and Sheila, had lived with them for several months before we met, and came in contact with them. We were drawn immediately to her because of her love for Jesus. She was not spirit-filled, and she was a prisoner, more or less, of Johnny and Sheila's. She was afraid, and she was trying to escape and going to hiding. We helped her do that. one particular night, Daryl and I had her in an apartment that we were staying in when we weren't down at the coffee house, and Johnny and Sheila and the whole shebang were down at the coffee house defending it against the people of the town, and we were in the apartment witnessing to Rhonda Duncan about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she wanted it so much. At that particular moment, there was a couple from our church who showed up ringing our doorbell and saying that the Spirit of the Lord came on them and told them to come to our apartment. We did not have close contact with this couple, and we were very surprised they were there. In fact, we were very frustrated that they showed up. But just the time we were witnessing to Rhonda about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we felt that it would be a problem. However, we did let them into the apartment, and they had the spirit of discernment. We knew that. We'd seen it operating in our services before. And they could see Regina, the one world government demon that Rhonda had told us about, and she hadn't told them anything about it. They didn't even know her. And they could see these demons around her. And right there in our apartment, they prayed for her deliverance, and she was set completely free, and everyone felt it go. It was such a glory. And we prayed for her. We were going to pray for her to be spirit-filled. And at that exact moment, John Todd showed up with his wife and their daughter, Michelle, who was about that time, what, about three? With a carload of guns, telling us that they wanted Rhonda Duncan back immediately, that God had just revealed to them something terrible was about to happen to her. The terrible thing was that she was about to be spirit-filled. So we had this mad race through a park at midnight with them circling a park and us hiding behind trees to help her escape. They kept coming back to us later and insisting that we tell her where she was. They wanted to keep her under their control. We got her in hiding with this other couple who eventually got her out of the city. There were very many things that happened that Rhonda Duncan explained to us about her relationship with John. Daryl mentioned one aspect. Sheila, his wife, personally broke down several times and confided in me that she had been a prostitute. When she met Johnny, her whole intention was to seduce him. And one of her friends had gone to one of his meetings in California, and she wanted to go just to see if she could get a man of God to go to bed with her. She also confided in me that she had always had trouble with Johnny going to bed with women, and some of the churches had problems with him seducing young girls in their congregation. So knowing him personally, knowing the bitterness he had against charismatics because they refused to support him, and we talked to the head of Full Gospel Businessmen's congregation in Colorado Springs, and they had called Demas Shakarian, and George told us that they didn't even know Johnny, and he had not even spoken at the Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings that he even told us he had spoken at. So we felt personally that his bitterness was springing from the fact that he wanted financial support and the charismatics did not support him.
Thank you. I'm sure they could share more. I think I don't know if I want to take the whole service about John Todd. I want to take it about Jesus Christ. I rest my case, but you wouldn't believe the amount, maybe you would, the amount of interest that there's been in this man in this assembly and all over the country. And so you've got to come in and say, why do you take all this time about a man? Only because of the tremendous statements that have been made. People want to know if the information is flying. People have been asking me for weeks to hurry up and give this information. So I've done this. So let's just forget the matter and go on with Jesus. We don't have to get information from him. It does teach you one thing. Don't let just anybody in your church just saying any old thing. Know who you've got. This information by Daryl and Rhonda Duke was 6 months before Todd's claim that they backslid. Now, I don't know how to square all of that, although there might be a question as when a person backslides, you know. There might be some, at some point they did a certain thing. Now, at this point, he was still in the coffee house. They might not have considered themselves backslid until they got the occult bookstore and turned against Christ, definitely. It's hard to know, so that could square up. Anyway, this is the matter as far as we know it. God bless you. Morning service will start in just a couple of moments. Listen, real quick. I want to make a change in one thing. I don't want the parents to take the children to children's church when I start my message.